Good evening and welcome to the second presentation in this, our 12th series of talks on Kentucky Live, Southern Culture at its Best, sponsored by the Friends of WKU Libraries. My name is Brian Coots, and as head of the Department of Library Public Services, I coordinate the series with my colleague Peggy Wright, who's recovering from hip surgery and hopes to join us soon. And with help from our webmaster, Hai Wong Wan, taking pictures back there, and our instruction coordinator, Brian Carson. Ryan Dowell and Christopher McConnell designed our posters, and our technical specialist tonight is Terry Perkins. Our speaker tonight is a native of Louisville, Kentucky, the middle child of Fred and Carolyn Pierce. She developed a fascination with photography at an early age, and she says she bought her first 35mm camera at the age of 16 with money she made babysitting. She pursued her passion at Western Kentucky University, where she majored in communications and studied photography. She was particularly interested in life and scenic photography. She says she fell in love with Fancy Farm the same time she fell in love with the Elder family when she was 19. She came to town to visit a pen pal of hers, Mary Ann Elder, who she'd met at a Red Cross camp when she was 14. In her many visits, she later wrote that the warmth she felt there made her feel that this was her home. After marrying Jimmy Elder, she moved there in 1992 and has been part of the Fancy Farm family and St. Jerome Church ever since. She's continued to pursue her passion for photography and exhibits at the Cherokee Triangle Art Show in Louisville each April and at the Gourd Patch Festival in Mayfield in the fall. She's a member of the Grays County Art Guild. With the 175th anniversary of the parish looming in 2011, she was asked by Father Darrell Venters, pastor of St. Jerome Church, to undertake a new history of the church. And drawing on 43 boxes of research materials collected for the 150th anniversary celebration, she supplemented with additional research and an updated paper version, The Catholic Settlement, A History of the St. Jerome Catholic Church, 1836 to 2011, was published this year. Here to tell us how that church and the town of Fancy Farm came to host the world's largest annual picnic is Cynthia Elder. Cynthia?
Thank you very much. That really makes me sound good. I appreciate this opportunity to come and visit with you guys and to tell you about Fancy Farm. Bowling Green has always been a place that I have loved coming to. I did go to school here. My first trip down here, though, was when I was in high school. I came for your annual debate tournament. I was a debater. And we rode the train down in the middle of the night, as it was back then. So I always loved Bowling Green and Western Kentucky University. And my oldest son, actually graduated from here several years ago and taught down at Franklin Simpson High School. He is currently living in Louisville. He teaches at Fairdale High School now. So Bowling Green is very special to me. I remember some of the places that I would go to, and I keep going back looking for those places, and I know they're gone, but Uncle Andy's had the best sandwiches when I was in college here. So, but again, I do appreciate being given the opportunity to visit. I am from Louisville originally. I was born and raised there and never thought about leaving, never considered leaving. I've enjoyed visiting different areas, but I kept being drawn back to Fancy Farm. I met my girlfriend Mary Ann when I was 14 at Red Cross Camp, and we became pen pals. That was back before we had cell phones and texts and that type of thing, and she wasn't allowed to call long distance. I was allowed to, but I had to pay for it. But she wasn't even allowed to. So we just wrote back and forth. And the first time I went to Fancy Farm, I was a student at Western, and decided I was going to visit Fancy Farm because, you know, it was in Western Kentucky. And I was going to Western Kentucky University, so it was right down the road, right? It's not right down the road. I learned very quickly that I currently live in Western Kentucky, and when I describe where I live, I say I live in far Western Kentucky. So, because a lot of people will say, oh, Owensboro, yeah, I know where Owensboro is, or yeah, I really like Bowling Green, and I just laugh because no, you don't even have a clue. But so I did go visit. The first time I was 19 years old, and that experience stays with me today. I stayed in the house that I currently live in, and I stayed in what I currently use as a guest room. I had the most beautiful homemade quilt covering me up that weekend, and the windows were open, and the guineas and the ducks and the geese and the chickens were just making a lot of noise right outside of my window. And for a Louisville girl that had never really lived on a farm or been to a farm, that was just a lot of noise. And I remember drinking milk out of a pitcher because the milk came out of the tank. And it didn't taste like milk that I drank at home. And I remember the scrambled eggs were really not chicken eggs because the family sold their chicken eggs. And we ate guinea eggs and goose eggs and turkey eggs and duck eggs all mixed together because they tasted better that way. And you needed a lot of ketchup. I remember that. But I loved that. And I also that weekend met my future husband, who sat over in the corner and giggled at everything that I said. And I used to tease him later after we married, because we married later in life, and I used to tease him and say, you know, if you had made a move on me when I was 19 and came down here, we could have been married, had a ton of kids, and been divorced, and I could be back in Louisville. But I guess things work out the way they're supposed to, because I'm very, very happy where I am. Fancy Farm is one of the most interesting communities you could ever go to. Has anyone here ever been? All right. Is anyone here from Fancy Farm? You're from Fancy Farm? What's your name?
My name was Cash.
Oh, you're a Cash. And which Cash family are you related to?
Edward Bobby.
Okay. So would that be Ella Mae Cash's family?
No.
Okay.
Albert and Ella Mae. Albert is my father's first cousin.
Okay. Okay. So you're not related to like James R. Cash, that end of... You are?
He's my first cousin.
So, I didn't realize that. Okay. Well, James R.'s son, Jay, is my son Jay's best friend. And Miss Ella Mae, in fact, my son, and I'll get into that in just a minute, but my son was at, did some work at Ella Mae's house recently. So, which is really exciting. One of the programs that we do in town. So, those of you that have been to Fancy Farm, you know that you have to be wanting to go there to get there. It's not on the side of the road. It's far. And you also know that it's really just a turn in the road, you know, if you think about it. But two turns. Well, it depends on where you're going. Because if you're going to my house, I live out towards Lowe's. If you're going to my house, it's just one turn. But if you're going into Carlisle County, it's two turns. You've got to go to the right and then out straight. So, anyway, but it's at the conjunction of Highway 80 and Highway 339 in Graves County. It's north west of Mayfield, so that would make it southwest of Paducah. I'm 15 minutes from Paducah, 10 minutes into Mayfield, so I live in the suburbs. The community is very interesting. You know, the first settlers went into Fancy Farm in 1836, or actually 1830, that area. The church was originally built in 1836. The families that are in Fancy Farm today can trace their ancestry all the way back to those people. Okay, Brother Leo Willett, who originally wrote the first history book, did a whole lot of research, phenomenal research. And there are families that came to Fancy Farm in the 1830s, and those are names like Ballard, Carrico, Cash, Hertzinger, Elliott, Hayden, Hobbs, Riley, Thomas, Thompson, Toon, Willett, Elder. Those are the same people that came back in the 1830s, and they're still there today. Now, there are other families there as well, but it's really interesting to me that those people can trace their ancestry back all that way. Brother Leo Willett, who back in 1986, he was asked to write a history of Fancy Farm in St. Jerome. And Brother Leo is huge in genealogy. So if you go through his original book, which is the history of St. Jerome, Fancy Farm, Kentucky, this is on the 150th anniversary of the book, of the parish. This is full of genealogy information. Who was the son of, daughter of, brother of? I mean, it's all there. And it's phenomenal information. When I was asked to update the book for the 175th anniversary, I thought, I can't do that. That is, you know, you can't do that. But what I did is I got in touch with Brother Leo, and he offered me his research. And he was a high school principal, so he was meticulous with his records, and he kept everything. In fact, several copies of everything. So Brother Leo had all of this information, and it was all in storage up in St. Louis. And so one Sunday, my husband and I drove up to St. Louis with a minivan with all the seats out, and we piled all of this research in, and it was 43 boxes of records of Fancy Farm. And some of it was genealogy information that I just really didn't necessarily need, but a lot of it was correspondence from people from years and years prior telling Brother Leo about their family. So that was what I was interested in, because I'm interested in the stories of the people. I want to tell you about the community of Fancy Farm. Fancy Farm is probably one of the only communities out there that still revolves around the church. And honestly, we don't have a mayor. We don't have, we were an incorporated city years and years ago, but back in the 50s, that all dissolved, and we're now governed by the Fiscal Court of Graves County. So we don't have any of those things. But it seems like things happen all the time. Things get done, and who's in charge of it? Who knows? But it all does revolve around the church. And St. Jerome Catholic Church was started in 1836. The church that is there now is the third church that was built. And the church has gone through numerous priests throughout the years. But every one of those priests has made an impact into the community. Back in the 1880s, they started a school, and people actually moved into the area because of the school. Or children moved into the area without their parents. They stayed with relatives or friends because of the school. It was one of the best schools in the state of Kentucky at that time. So the school brought all these people into the community. And, of course, it was a parochial school, a parish school, so there was no such thing as tuition. Everybody that came, if they weren't Catholic, they quickly became Catholic because the school was taught by nuns. Actually, the nuns taught the girls and the priests taught the boys, and that's how they did. The school, and people don't know this, but the school became a state institution in the 1930s, 1933. That was during the Depression, and they couldn't afford to keep the school up. So they but the county needed a school. So they came to an agreement. The nuns still taught. They still taught religion. It was run just like it was. Everybody went to Mass every day. So it was just like the Catholic school that we're all familiar with, or I'm all familiar with because that's the way I was raised. Until the mid-1960s. Then the county started coming in, and of course that's when the nuns quit teaching and the county brought in teachers. But a lot of it was still continued. They still taught religion. They still considered themselves to be a Catholic school. And it's only been in recent years that religion is no longer taught. And of course, there aren't. We don't have the nuns that we do have in our community don't teach. They're more administrators. So the church is where everything revolves around. And even up until I think it was 2010 that we got a brand new school. But at the time, the main reason for the school was because the other school was not handicap accessible. So it was three stories of classrooms. And so they needed something handicap accessible. And this is how it makes a good idea to be in with the politicians, is because Ernie Fletcher was governor then, and he gave the community of Fancy Farm $5 million to build a new elementary school. So that's how Fancy Farm got the new elementary school. But the school and the church still, there's a newsletter that comes out on a quarterly basis, and probably about 4 or 5 pages of that newsletter is school news. But the newsletter is put out by the church. So that's one of the things that happens with it all. And also, the church is involved in all kinds of social activities. I mean, I laugh all the time saying, if I live in a small town and there's nothing to do, why am I so tired? I'm going, you know, there's always something to do. We have Little League baseball and softball on church property. We have Easter egg hunts every year. We have a 4th of July parade that if you ever want to see a small town parade, everybody comes out for that. And then, oh, by the way, we have huge fireworks that night. And that's all provided by the church and donations that people bring in. We have events, well, like in October, we're having a fall bash, so it's a trunk or treat type thing, and then a chili supper. And I mean, it's just nonstop stuff like that, and everybody comes. I mean, if you live in Fancy Farm and you're not a part of that, it's your own fault, because it's a lot of fun. It really is. But I guess what you all really wanted to talk about and hear about is the Fancy Farm picnic. I always laugh and say, you know, there's a lot going on in Fancy Farm all those other 364 days of the year, but that everybody knows us for the picnic. The picnic started in 1880, and it was nothing but a homecoming. It was, you know, let's all get together and have dinner, and people that lived out of town came in. But in 1880, there was a newspaper statement in the Mayfield Monitor that said there's going to be picnic down at the creek with a gander pulling. And if you've never been a part of the gander pulling, you really need to come and see that. Well, you know me, I've got to Google what a gander pulling is, and I won't go into detail, but if you're interested in that, you can Google it yourself. I can't imagine them doing that. But, you know, back then, it was cheap entertainment. But that started it. And a lot of people say, oh, it's the world's largest political picnic. No, it's really not. Well, it probably is, but that's not what it's designed to be. It's a fundraiser. It's not any different than a fundraiser your all's churches would have or your all's schools would have. The big difference is that, and I'm sure at your all's fundraisers, the local politicians show up because there's a crowd. And hey, I need the votes, so I'm going to go where the crowd is. That's exactly what happened. But the difference is that back in 1931, Happy Chandler was running for governor. And he came to Fancy Farm, and he won. At that time, the Fancy Farm picnic was held the weekend before the Kentucky primary in August. And Happy Chandler won. So he said, he claimed to everybody, well, the only reason I won was because I went to Fancy Farm. Well, what happens? Everybody says, oh, well, if you're going to win a statewide office, you better go to Fancy Farm. And so they came. And, you know, those of us who live in Fancy Farm and work in Fancy Farm sit back and say, we hate those politicians. But honestly, we love those politicians because those politicians bring people in, and those people, most of them anyway, bring money, and that money is then used for activities and programs that we offer at the church. So we love those politicians as much as we don't like those politicians. But the so that's how it all happened, or how it all started. The Fancy Farm Picnic is probably an event that most people cannot even fathom in today's today. You know, town of Fancy Farm itself probably has about 500 residents. This year, picnic weekend, there were probably 20,000 people that came into our community. And we fed them all and sent them all home happy. They got to listen to their politicians if they wanted to, but they went home happy. And how we do that is just an event in itself. You know, you've heard of people that finish an event and they say, oh, well, you know, we start the next day for next year. Well, we're always doing picnic. You know, it's whether we've just had it or we're getting ready to have it, but we're always in the picnic kind of mode. And this is what's really cool about Fancy Farm. As you can attest to, Ms. Cash, every family has a job. I bet you sold lemonade when you were growing up at the picnic. You didn't?
That was out of cash.
I cannot keep this cash, but Eugene Cash, his family sells soft drinks. They're in the soft drink stand.
We had the canned fish pond.
Oh, okay. See, the Caricos do the fish pond now. Okay. So, but every family, they know what their job is. For instance, since I moved to Fancy Farm, I've been the co-chairman of the St. Jerome 1 Mile Classic, which is a 1 mile run walk at the picnic. But my husband's family is in charge of the meat stand. We bone out meat, pork and mutton, and we sell that by the pound. And that's our job. And we start when the kids are 2 and 3 years old. They can run and get a bottle of barbecue sauce and bring it over here, or a loaf of bread that we just sold to whomever. And we're there until the day we die. It seems like Jimmy's Uncle Fred, he died picnic night. He had been sick, so he wasn't at the picnic that day, but he died picnic night, and we said, well, at least he waited until after the picnic. Thank you very much, Uncle Fred. But that's the thing. I mean, that's our job. We do that, and we come home for the picnic year in and year out. I'm sure you go home for the picnic. Yeah. And my children, both of my two older children live in Louisville, and they come home, and they bring their friends because, you know, when you're working, you need as many people as you can get. And in fact, I laugh. You all are all invited to the picnic next year, and please come early, and we'll be down the hill in the meat stand, and we can put you to work. We've got an apron with your name on it. But that's what we do, and you would be surprised the people that come. And they come year in and year out. The main thing about the picnic is, if you're from Fancy Farm, is accommodating all those people. But the way we do that is with a phenomenal meal and activities during the day. And then, of course, we do have the political speaking. The political speaking really just lasts about 2 hours. But we invite the people that are candidates for major offices in the state of Kentucky and nationwide. We've had presidential candidates were there I'm trying to think what year it was, but George Wallace announced that he was running for president at the Fancy Farm Picnic. This was after he was there was the assassination attempt. Lloyd Benson came 1 year when he was running for vice president, and when Bill Clinton was running for president the first time, Al Gore came and spoke at Fancy Farm. My oldest daughter was 3 years old at the time, And I waited 3 hours for that man to show up. And I had to hold her for 3 hours because she fell asleep. And we were out in the middle of the heat. This was back before the nice pavilion that we have now. And I thought I was going to scream. My sister had come in from Louisville because we got to listen to what Al Gore has to say. And I was ready to kill her. I said, I can be playing bingo. But I do have some pictures of the picnic. Hold on. These are some of the picnic pictures. We do 9 tons of pork and mutton year in and year out. We cook that for 24 hours. And we usually sell out of that meat year in and year out. It is the best. Boy, there it is. I love the barbecue, but we do that, and we sell it by the pound. We sell it in sandwiches, and then we have a meal where we have fresh corn that we cut off the cob. We have fresh vegetables, homegrown tomatoes, fresh baked pies, and then barbecue, and then fried chicken, and it's an all-you-can-eat type scenario. So it's not like you go through and somebody, you know, gives you a little bit. If you go home hungry, that's your own fault. The thing about the picnic, and I do the fancyfarm.net website, so year round you get people that are all about the picnic and wanting to know, you know, how can I get on the political speaking, I'd like to set up a booth. And, you know, you have to sit there and say, listen, this is a fundraiser for St. Jerome, and so we don't allow people to come in and set up booths. You know, this is what we do. We do play games. We play bingo for prizes. So you can win a bicycle. You can win some pots and pans. You can win a toaster. You can win a cordless drill. And we do give away a vehicle every year. Now, ordinarily, we will raise about $220,000 to $230,000 in basically a 24-hour period. We start picnic off on Friday morning at 7 o'clock. There's a mass. And then after mass, we go down. And that's when they're to the pits. And that's when they are putting the meat on the pits. Father will bless the meat, and then the men get to work, and they go to work. You better stay out of their way. And we do that, and then pretty much put finishing touches on everything. And then at 5 o'clock, there's a humongous fish fry. So if you're hungry, we've got fish. And then there's a one-mile race that's designed for kids that my husband and I do. And basically what we do with that, that's for kids and parents and grandparents. And we always say all the runners are the kids and all the walkers are the parents and the grandparents. And then there's a 5K race that is hugely popular. It usually has about 400 people running it. And it's a mean course, I'll tell you that. And then you can go up onto the picnic stand and visit with people that you haven't seen in years and years, or make friends with new people. And then the next morning, the picnic officially starts at 10 o'clock in the morning, but we start selling meat by the pound at 8. So we get out there about 6 to start getting the meat ready to be sold by the pound. And this year, we sold out of meat at 1 o'clock. They cut us off. Because they needed to make sure that they had plenty of meat for the dining room and for the sandwich stand. So we do that, and then the games and all that starts at 10. Every year we give away a vehicle. This year we gave away a Jeep, and we raised $80,000 on that Jeep. So I guess next year we'll be giving away a Jeep again. Usually we give away, you know, it started with just a vehicle, and then they wanted to appeal to the younger crowd, and so they gave away a sporty vehicle, and then they wanted to appeal to the young men, so they gave away a truck, and now they are giving away a Jeep, and it was hugely popular, so I guess next year we'll be giving away a Jeep again. And, you know, and it's a $30,000 vehicle, but we made $50,000 on that raffle. But ordinarily, we'll do $200,000 to $220,000 is what we'll bring in. That's not what we realized, but that's what we bring in. This year, we did right at $300,000. And that's because of the political event. Last year at the picnic, Allison Lindgren Grimes announced that she was running against Mitch McConnell at the Fancy Farm picnic. Well, don't you know the news media ate that up? And we did. We had news media from CNN, MSNBC, Fox never came down, but ABC, CBS, they were all there. And you're just sitting there going, I don't know why you're here, but okay, glad you're here. And they were just, and we work the meat stand, so they're always in the meat stand. They just are thrilled with what we do. I mean, we're boning meat out and chopping barbecue. Our barbecue is different from everybody else's. We don't put any barbecue sauce on it. We'll mop it and that kind of thing, but we don't put sauce on it. So it's different than Owensboro barbecue. We don't do burgoo. And it's way different than Carolina barbecue or anybody. It's just a different, don't you think? It's just totally different than what you'll get anywhere else. And it's cooked up with hickory wood. And so it's pretty cool. It's pretty good. In fact, I'd like to have some right now. but anyway, so it was so funny because we were watching the Sunday news programs last year after Allison Lindgren Grimes came in, and we were watching that, and they were talking about Fancy Farm, and they were talking about the meat stand, and they had pictures, and there were my kids on national TV, and I was like, whoa, this is pretty cool. So this year when Allison came down to the meat stand to chop meat, and when she did, we were ready for her. Well, we had her an apron, and we were, because she actually chopped the meat. But my 16-year-old daughter said, why is she back like that? I'm like, oh, no. And her husband, Allison's husband, heard my daughter say that. And she goes, what's the matter? And she goes, she's on the mutton side. Mutton is always behind. And we need mutton. And she's going to slow us down. So he made my daughter tell her that with the news media right there. So, of course, she had to, and then when everybody left, everybody started yelling at my daughter, why'd you say that? Don't you know this is really cool that she's down here? And she's like, he made me? but the mutton end of things, mutton takes a lot longer to bone out than pork does. So there was that. There's that. But picnic weekend is just a huge event, and you know, a lot of people will ask us, what do you think about the politics? Who do you think is going to win? And, you know, we pay attention to politics like most people in Kentucky do. You know, it's, okay, I saw that ad, all right. No, you know, we're not these hugely political people. It just so happens that these hugely political people come to our town once a year and are all about it. One thing about the political speaking, though, is like this year, Mitch McConnell brought in 4 busloads of people with him, which we love because those people come in, they're going to spend their money, right? Well, the thing about Fancy Farm is that they don't care who you are, they're going to heckle you till you're blue in the face. And so there's a whole lot of noise being made while anybody is speaking. And this year, they asked the political parties to please not bring in people to just heckle. You know, let's keep this a little bit civilized. So the heckling was down some, but it is, you know, it's still bad because you'll have, you know, this 70-year-old man sitting here that is calling you a rat fink, and, you know, you've been a rat fink all along, and, you know, and you're just sitting there going, I cannot believe you're actually saying these things. But there is some serious political junkies that come to Fancy Farm. and the heckling has had to be calmed down through the years. But all of this enables us to have the type of community that we have. One of my most treasured memories when I first moved to Fancy Farm is there's a family, Bernard and Wilma Hobbs, which I'm sure you know Bernard and Wilma. And they have a home center in Fancy Farm, and it's part hardware store, part deli, part grocery store, part souvenir stand. So, and everybody knows Bernard and Wilma. They've been there, or Bernard's 85 now. So when I first moved to Fancy Farm, we had stopped at Hobbs's, and we were leaving the store, and Bernard said to me, he goes, "Well, welcome to the family. We're really glad to have you." And we got in the car, and I said to my fiance at the time, I said, "How are we related?" You know, because you always want to know, how am I related to them? And you know, like, oh, he's my first cousin or whatever. And he goes, "Well, we're not." And I said, "Well, why did he welcome me to the family?" And he said, "Well, that's just the way Bernard is." And that's true, but he's not the only one. Everybody in Fancy Farm treats you like you are family. It doesn't matter who you are. We are glad you're there, and we want you to enjoy your stay and come back. Another story is with the fancyfarm.net website. I get a lot of emails from people. And I had this woman contact me, and she said, I need some help. My father's father was born in Fancy Farm, but moved away years ago. And he, and my father has never been to Fancy Farm, and he's on his deathbed. My husband's going to be coming through. Can you show him around so he can take pictures of the church and the different things? Well, we met this guy out there. They were from Kansas, and we met him out there. He took pictures, had to walk through the entire cemetery to take pictures of every Willet in the cemetery, which there are quite a few. And it was just heartwarming because this man was just all about it. Well, we sent him home with a St. Jerome t-shirt and a Fancy Farm ball cap and with lots of prayers. She called me and she said, "Thank you so much. My dad was so excited about that." And we corresponded back and forth, and her dad ended up dying before he could make it to Fancy Farm. But that year at Picnic, they came. They were being transferred to Nashville, so they felt they were close enough to come. And they have been at every Picnic since then. And that's probably been 5 years ago, 5 or 6 years ago. And these people are Willets, so you got to know their family. And they're all about our community. I think I'm pretty much done, unless I haven't covered something you want to talk about. And I'm definitely not an expert because I've only lived there 20 years. Miss Cash isn't the expert, so she knows a lot more than I do.
I never lived there for 30.
I know, but you know as much as I do.
Could you mention a bit about the recent restoration of the church?
The church, a couple of years ago, the church was totally renovated, and basically we just moved out of the church. They painted and redid the organ and put in a baby grand piano and did all kinds of work to the church. This past summer, the outside of it, which is stucco, was painted, and so it's continually being upgraded. Now, when the school moved out, that left the church with three school buildings. We had what was the old high school and what was the old elementary school, and then what was one of the original schools, which we called Hazley Hall, which was just basically a storage facility. It was a two-story storage facility with a basement. And there was a group of, and the long-term committee decided to tear down Hazley Hall because it served its purpose and we didn't need it anymore. Well, it was built in 1909, and it was a brick building, and it had no structural problems at all. So there were a group of people that said, we don't want to tear down Haisley Hall. What do we need to do to keep it? Well, the parish council said, okay, you all can keep it, but we're not putting another penny in it, so you have to raise all your own money. Well, to date, they've raised over $300,000 and are in the process of renovating Haisley Hall. You'll see some pictures of an old-time classroom that are up here, and that's some of the renovations that have been done. They've stripped the floors down. They've put windows in that mimic the windows that were there originally, and they're doing a whole lot of work. In fact, they're in the process of finishing another room to make that into a museum of artifacts from Fancy Farm. So that, and then the other two school buildings, one has been turned into a fitness center, so we have all kinds of fitness equipment, and there's a wonderful gym that was always there. And so that has been turned into those facilities, and I'm not saying this out loud, but it's pretty much a free to the community. There's no, if you want to make a donation, that's great. If you don't, that's okay too. And then we have religion classes in the other other school, and then we rent out the cafeteria, what was the school cafeteria, for showers or class reunions or that type of thing. This year at Picnic, all the elders, we did a worldwide elder reunion at Fancy Farm. So there, we had a ton of elders who had never been there before, and it was a lot of work, but it was a cool thing to have all those people there because they could trace their ancestry back to Fancy Farm. So they were all from Maryland originally.
We have to ask a question. One thing you mentioned in your blog was how tiring all this was. You're done tired after this event.
Oh yeah, Picnic is a whole lot of work physically as well as organizationally and everything. But you know, when Picnic is over, you've got this total satisfaction. Of course, you're stuffed to the gills because you've been eating for 3 days but it takes a while to recover from that. That is one thing on the website is I do have a blog now that I'm doing about life in Fancy Farm, and I do talk about the picnic, but I also talk about just anything else, like following a hay wagon down the road, or what are some of my other blog posts? They're hilarious, some of the things that I come up with. So if you want to follow that, it's fancyfarm.net is what the blog is.
Time for questions. Questions, anyone?
You said it lasts 3 days, so Friday, Saturday, and continue on Sunday?
Cleanup is Sunday.
Okay.
There's a whole lot of cleanup that has to be done. A couple of years ago, they went from... they sold soft drinks, used to sell soft drinks in cups, and they went to those plastic bottles, okay, which is a great deal, and that kind of thing. Cleaning those things up is a pain in the rear. But yeah, and then after cleanup, Father will have mass on the picnic grounds, and then there's leftovers. Everybody goes up to the KC Hall and eats leftovers.
Over there, yes.
What part of Louisville are you from?
I'm from St. Matthews.
And when you mentioned the name Haisley down in that area, there were a number of Haisley people in the west end of Louisville.
Well, Father Charles Haisley was a priest at Fancy Farm for over 20 years, and he was instrumental in building the school in 1909. But he also built the rectory in 1911, and he, I think, was also instrumental in building the current church. So he is very well thought of, even though he's been gone from there for years and years. But I don't know if he was from Louisville. See, the thing of it was is that when Fancy Farm started, we were out of the diocese of Bardstown, and really Louisville was not even... a part of Western Kentucky Catholicism. It was all out of Bardstown. So
the Hazleys, they all live down in the West End.
Okay.
And also the Willett name, that's from the distillery and the,
oh, yeah,
and the, you know, that area.
Right. Right. Yeah, and these names are prominent in Kentucky, not just in, yeah, in Western Kentucky or Marion or Nelson County. Mm-hmm. They're prominent throughout Kentucky, you know. So, yeah.
Other questions?
Did you have one?
Well, I just wondered how you, or how, not you specifically, how Fancy Farm handles the traffic to have 20,000 in a town of 500.
Well, that was really interesting because we don't have a stoplight. Okay, so that was really interesting this year because a lot of my family live down Highway 80, and there's two ways into Fancy Farm. There's come in Highway 80 or come in Highway 121 and come in Highway 339. So go out from Mayfield 121 and then shoot down 339. That's the best way to come if you're coming picnic day. But the highway will, or GPS will have you going Highway 80. And people were parking in the highway this year. And so, like Allison Lundgren Grimes, she parked over at Hobbs's. They had however many buses, and all of her supporters were parked over at Hobbs's. And they've got a lot of land over there that they can park people. But she basically caused a parking lot to form on Highway 80. We didn't have a problem with that because we weren't going anywhere, but I'm sure people that were trying to get out and that kind of thing had a problem with it. But really, it's, you know, never really been a huge issue that I can remember. And there's always a way around. You know, you can always, I guess if you know your way, we have a John Deere Gator and we always take it out there. And the Willetts that came in from Nashville, they came and they asked me to get their barbecue for them because last year they got shut out and didn't get any barbecue. So I had all their barbecue for them, and when they got there, they had an empty cooler that they were ready to put all their barbecue in, and then he was going to take it back to the car. Well, he had parked probably a mile up the road, and I said, yeah, get in the Gator. And so we just zoomed, you know. That's one of the things about Fancy Farm. We've got these great sidewalks now, but the sidewalks were built for the golf carts. These people and their golf carts, it's hilarious. I mean, you have golf cart people coming for church, you know, and they just park their golf cart right there, you know. So I guess if I lived in town, I live 2 miles from Fancy Farm, so if I lived in town, I'd be riding my Gator in there all the time anyway. So, yeah.
Other, any more questions? I do encourage you. It's certainly a wonderful place to visit, and I think they said it right in the turn of the century that this is certainly one of the most, if not the most beautiful church in all of Kentucky, and it certainly looks fabulous with its current restoration.
So. Yeah. I do have, the book is, we do have it, and it was actually published in 2011. It was self-published, but the 1986 version is out of print and will not be reprinted. But I also have some write cards from the Fancy Farm Picnic that shows the schedule. The schedule does not change year in and year out, so it'll tell you what time the fish fry starts and everything else. And then if you want to get a book tonight, we've got them. But if not, I've got a postcard that tells you how to order it online.
So. Well, if that's the last question, then it's now time for our annual door prize.
One thing that, you know, the history of the church is a big deal to me, but one thing that people have asked me about for years and is where can I get more information about politics in Fancy Farm? And I just sit back and laugh because, you know, there's not. But I am currently working on a publication that I hope to have available for the 135th picnic on the history of politics at the picnic. So y'all can look for that.
And on behalf of our friends organization who sponsored this event, a little token of our appreciation from our museum store, we want to thank you so much for coming from Fancy Farm to tell us about the world's greatest picnic. Thanks.
Thank you.
we hope you'll join us at the table if you'd like to get a copy of the book. We'll be back here again in 2 weeks when we'll be doing a program on two Scottish duchesses in an age of men in our faraway places series. And we'll hope you'll join us at that time. Thanks and have a good evening.